superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah.
With guest host, Susie Schuster.
Game time, little lady, put your dukes up. Flex on them, go ahead, make them choose.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Susie, you're 10 times better than your husband.
Today's guests, Sports Illustrated senior writer Greg Bishop, former NFL Network host Kara Henderson-Snead, Basketball Hall of Famer Shaquille O'Neal, plus former Raiders CEO Amy Trask. And now, it's Susie Schuster.
Hello, and thank you for taking in this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for my husband, Rich Eisen, while he is teeing off people in Hawaii.
Mr.
He
Mai
deserves
Tai.
It. Mr. Mai Tai had a couple last night, TJ Jefferson. I think he got a little Mai Tai last night, you might want to say, over there in Kona, but he deserves it. He needed a break after the Super Bowl run, etc. So I'm not going to lie. I got to get him out of the house. I got to be the cool wife. No, honey, you go.
You
have
do
a
it.
Trip.
Oh, no, enjoy yourself.
Hawaii.
You deserve it.
And I'm right here, and I may not leave. So, hi, TJ Jefferson. How are you?
I'm great, Susie. And yesterday, I forgot. My mom sent me a text right when the show started. She's like, tell Susie I said hi. Glad to see her. So, from my mom to you.
Will you pass that right back? Will you pass that right back?
You can tell her she's watching.
Well, good morning. How are you, Mrs. Mom TJ? I love you, and I'm so glad that you watched. And, well, I need a little...
Linda.
I would always say Mrs.
Linda
because
Jefferson.
Good morning, Linda. How's your coffee? What's for breakfast? Call us. Have your mom call. Because, by the way, TJ,
she's at home.
It's
noon,
me.
Right?
Mm-hmm. It's Kara Henderson-Snead. It's Amy Trask.
Ladies first.
Three women on our radio show at the same time in sports. Stop the presses. We might get arrested.
Can we play that Queen Latifah song, Mikey?
Yeah, I'm actually looking for that.
That's right. That's right.
I knew
Mikey Del Tufo. How are you this morning?
Susie.
Thank
DJ
you for
Mikey
showing
D.
up on this
tired,
Friday.
But I'm here.
I know, but you know, I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't sure. It could have been called in.
Game at UCLA last night. That's it was right. not. Yeah,
I don't know, like a volleyball game, and he's needed TJ and calls in. Good morning, Christopher. How are you?
Rock man.
Yeah.
Man, I've got all kinds of stuff on the desk over
well,
here.
Well, you want to know why? It's Mimosa Friday, everybody.
Yeah, hit the music.
And because... And because Kara's here,
tonight.
I brought two bottles of Shams because Kara's here, and you know... So I don't know if you guys know this, but Kara is not only
a Super Bowl champion,
not only a Super Bowl champion. The dancing videos were extremely entertaining, but also she and I have known each other and Rich since the ESPN days. We were all there together back in the day. She also was the first woman to be on CNN Sports. She hosted CNN Sports. She went to NFL Network as a host. More importantly, was smart enough to marry Les Snead. And I basically think that they're Super Bowl champions because of Kara. Well. But she can drink any of you three majokes under the table.
Facts.
So I'm just saying, I brought two bottles knowing.
Oh, Mike, come on.
Knowing Vodka, as we coast into the second
practice.
Hour.
You're out
yeah,
of practice.
True, I'm out of practice.
You are out of practice. Even if you were on top of the world, she would drink you under the table. So that's that. Great to have you here. We're looking forward to having not only Kara on, but Greg Bishop, the senior writer from SI, who's done his eighth cover story, embedding with the Super Bowl champ. So I wanted to hear about how he does it. How do you turn this around so quickly? If any of you haven't read his cover story on the Rams, it's incredible, and it will walk you through every single moment that led up until the big day. It's called How the Rams Got Away, Found One Another, and Then Found a Way. So I can't wait to have him on. Following Carol will be, of course, there's a guy named Shaquille O'Neal. I'm not sure if you know who he is, TJ.
Shaq Diesel.
So Shaq's going to call in from Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Because who is
this? Is for you.
And we'll ask him about the fur coat he wore on the plane. He posted that to all of his billions of followers. And we'll ask him a couple questions about the 75 team. And who are we kidding? He'll stare the direction. I don't get to stare the direction.
We'll, whatever Shaq
we'll
wants
do
to
whatever
talk
Shaq
about.
Wants us to do.
He's a Cowboys fan. You know, Rich Paul said some things. We'll talk to him about just what's going on in the world.
Brian, you think Shaq will be a fan of my tier system as a Cowboy fan?
Shaq is probably a huge fan of the tier system because Shaq is gets behind the rope. Yeah, he's VIP of VIP.
I can have all sorts of ideas of what I want to talk about with Shaq, but honestly, once he comes on, it's like, okay, where are we going here?
Yeah.
I'm not steering this boat anymore.
The best is when Shaq will just randomly FaceTime Rich while he's in the middle of a take or a segment, and Rich will look down and go, oh, Shaq is FaceTiming me. Well, answer it!
Yeah.
And Shaq's like, oh, I'm at my barber watching you guys.
He FaceTimed me during the Super Bowl. We were sitting in the stands. Yeah.
That's a flex and, right there. Flex.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, hey, Coop, who's cooler, mom or dad? I have Shaq on my phone. Who you got, Rich? Just saying, right? Yeah. I mean, so, and then the funny thing is my kids are so funny. They're like, oh, I'm like, don't you want to say hi to Uncle Shaq? They're like, and then really Xander just wanted to know what he could eat next.
Yeah.
And Coop,
what else is free in here?
Coop gets very nervous. Coop gets very nervous with a celebrity of any type. Like the other night we were at dinner. I think Rich mentioned this, that we were at Craig's the other night for dinner for Coop's birthday. We only go there for birthdays or celebrations, right? And, Andrew Whitworth and Eric Weddle walk in the back, and they get a standing ovation. My friend was at a table next to them. Her friend, who was just wasted, kept sending shots over and was like loud and noisy, and she was so embarrassed. But that being said, Rich said, Coop, you want to go meet the Rams? Nope.
Nope.
No interest. Interest in the dessert? A lot of interest.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
In meeting the Rams, no. TJ, your big ass grab bag. We're going to do that soon as well, which I'm excited about. And what else do we have today? We're going to do a poll question, Brockman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to do a poll. So what do we decide, right? It's the anniversary of Blue Chips release. Mm-hmm. So what are we going on that, TJ? What were the thoughts there?
Well, I know Sean had brought up maybe a jersey from a movie that you'd want to own. I saw that floating around.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. The Neon Bordeaux 50.
Although when Brockman and I went to the Fox Hills Mall the other day, and we went to a couple shops, and we saw a bunch of jerseys from movies and TV shows.
Yeah, they had all kinds of old ones. They had the Willie Beeman Miami Sharks from Any Given Sunday.
Oh, there was a Ray Finkel.
Yeah, there was a Ray Finkel, Bobby Boucher. We've seen those. Obviously, the Jesus Shuttlesworth. Uh-huh. That's kind of a popular one. Okay, we can go in that direction. What do we think? What should be our four options? Because, as you know, Twitter only gives us four on the poll.
I like a Jesus Shuttlesworth one now. I mean,
we just do basketball? Let's just do basketball.
I think with Blue Chip, don't you think that we stick with that?
Yeah, let's do basketball.
With a theme.
So the Western University Neon Bordeaux.
We can do the Neon Bordeaux.
Let's see. There is also
Jesus Shuttlesworth, obviously.
Obviously.
What about Teen Wolf's jersey?
Teen Wolf. I'm down with that. And then what's another iconic basketball TV show or movie?
Got Love and Basketball. Oh, we also saw Tupac's jersey from Above the Rim. Was
Tupac's jersey from Above the Rim? We could go. We could go Will Ferrell semi-pro.
That was also the Jackie Moon jersey.
Jackie
was
Moon
in
jersey.
There.
Let's do that one.
All right.
Actually, since Pac didn't actually play in that game, and Jackie Moon did play,
let's do Jackie Moon. All right, here we go. So I'm throwing up at Rich Eisen Show. If you got another, give us a call 844-204 Rich.
Yeah, and I love the fact that the phone lines are already lighting up. Because I love phoners. You know that I am very happy to take calls. So
well, you're interactive.
I'm just that kind of
and
person.
And despite, you know, being from New England like me, you're a people person. We don't get that label that often, but we are people.
You are a people person?
Yeah, people person. People, how do you motherfuck me?
I like taking calls. And by the way, no Marky Mark. I saw him on, I guess you're not allowed to call him Marky Mark. I guess he's very touchy.
Oh, no, he's
about being
hated
referred
that for
to as
the
Marky
Funky
Mark.
Bunch, all those days are long gone.
And I could be like, oh my God, Mark, I actually drove by your house when I was like in high school. I never had the accent. I'm not that good at it.
You didn't.
I try so
one
hard.
Big happy bite.
I just felt like you just fell right back into it there.
Oh my God.
Well, we were also
by Jamaica Plain, and I like went to go by Joey McIntyre's house, but he wasn't there.
We were watching Salt clips this morning of him doing Boston accents.
Yeah, we're also going to in a Peacock only segment. Hey, Peacock, here's an idea for your new show. In case you're watching, we're going to introduce you to the Calm app by oftentimes Marty Walsh, the former mayor of Boston, who's now something in the administration, something. And our friend Alex Sulkin, who is the head writer of The Family Guy. He wrote the Ted movies. He's writing the new Naked Gun. He owes me a script. Hey, Slappy, where's my script? And he does the most incredible Instagram calm apps. He takes a nice take on how an angry New Englander would handle meditation. We will share that with you, Peacock. For those of you listening on the radio, I promise you, worth going to find it. So go to YouTube, watch it later, because you will enjoy it, and then you will start following Alex Sulkin, and then you will curse me forever because he's incredibly addictive. But, you know, what am I going to do? Also, I want to bring up, for those of you that missed the show yesterday, go to YouTube or however you find the show. We had an incredible conversation with the icon, the legend Jerry West, who I've been lucky enough to call a friend for the last 30 years. He was incredibly open. I'll tell you, much more open than I ever expected him to be, about mental health and about his own battles with it in the past. I think it really took people aback to hear him speaking so openly about it. Obviously, we got in via Ben Simmons and his conversations with mental health. Charles Barkley, another one to go seek out on YouTube if you didn't watch it yesterday. Charles very vocal about his thoughts on Ben Simmons, whether or not this is mental health, whether this is or not mental illness. And I wanted to clarify something. Marshall and I were talking about Simone Biles.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was saying was, and TJ, I know that you had some thoughts on this. He was saying, well, that's not mental illness. But I think mental health and mental illness are a similar conversation. I think mental illness is similar conversation, but a totally different track. Your confidence is your mental health. And if an athlete is not feeling confident in oneself or in himself, herself, then that affects one's mental health. There's a similarity. And I think we have to be careful that we don't go into the wrong lane here. Mental health is something that you can control. You can work on. An athlete has to have control of one's mental health in order to succeed, right? And I think in previous generations, it was like, suck it up, buck up, yep, get strong, pound it, get, like Marshall.
Man, I mean, how many times I was told, play like a man, or like,
of course,
just step it up. You know, it's not pain. There's a difference between pain and injury. You know, you got your bell rung. All those terms that people used in the 70s and 80s and 90s,
yeah,
it's like, it just seems so arcane and caveman-like now when we talk about this issue.
Yeah, Chris, and I'm 100% with you. I mean, when I rode show jumping, I'm jumping 4, 5, 6 foot fences. I lost my confidence for a while because I had a horse with a stop. I landed on my head a couple times. That'll scare you.
Yeah.
I totally lost my confidence. So I wanted to clarify because somebody had said out there, oh, I don't think Marshall was being sensitive towards Simone. And I wanted to clarify, I disagree. I just think that it's a generational thing as well. And I think that if she's hurtling through the air,
mm-hmm, flipping
with a million
down
twists, I think I said this in July when I was, mm-hmm, here.
Yep.
It's been a while. I'm just clarifying. I wouldn't want there to be any misconstruing of the subject. We take it very seriously here. And I think all of us feel the same way. And I speak for Marshall that mental health there's very few things more important than mental health. Very different than mental illness. So we will actually talk to Shaq about that. We'll talk to Kara about that. She spent her whole life covering sports and now gets to see it from a different perspective. I actually love the fact we're having her in. Also, she's really fun. She's really fun. So yeah, we can. But also, you know, it's funny. I was talking to my brother on the way in today, Scott, who you know.
Shout out Scotty Schuster.
And I said to him at first, I was like, oh, you might not like the 10 o'clock hour. You might think we're too laughing and what have you. Because no, actually, really curious about how it feels to be on the outside and now on the inside. So I think that's a fascinating conversation. Yeah. She is bringing the yellow hat she wore to the Super Bowl that made its way around half of the Rams. And We'll talk to Shaq about that as well. We'll talk to Amy Trask, because God knows she knows in dealing with athletes for this many years about dealing with mental health and mental illness. But it's just a leitmotif throughout the week. And so that was my long-winded way of saying check out Jerry West from yesterday. I think it's really fascinating.
Yeah.
So there
Go. I'll repost the whole YouTube video right now on Twitter at Rich Eisen Show in case you missed that.
That would be lovely. What else? What did I miss, Christopher?
Let's see. What else? The college football playoff made some news this morning. We can hit on that later. It's NBA All-Star Weekend. Yep. So we can maybe have a discussion about NBA All-Star Weekend, NBA All-Star Saturday. TJ, we were wondering who's even in the dunk contest this morning. We figured that out. Three-point shootout skills challenge. Rising Stars game. That's always really fun and exciting. I think the celebrity game is going down tonight. How did our invites get lost in the mail?
That's a great question.
Who's even playing in the celebrity? I'm just curious.
It's usually the same crew of people that play.
Yeah, usually it's like Common and Kevin Hart and those guys. Here we go. I got the roster here.
Yeah, please.
Quavo. Okay, Team Walton. So Bill Walton is one of the coaches?
Oh, that's great.
Amazing.
Oh, my God. Okay, so Jimmy Allen, country music singer. Brittany Elena. She's a host, actress, and influencer. Machine Gun Kelly. I just saw him in the Jackass movie. If you haven't seen that, oh, my God. Oh, he's from Cleveland. That's why. De'Erica Hamby. She's on the Vegas Aces. Noah Carlock. Nyjah Houston, the professional skateboarder.
Okay.
Oh, Matt James, who was on The Bachelor. Quavo, obviously.
Obviously. Who's Quavo?
From Migos.
Okay.
Yeah, he's real nice.
Yeah, he's a really good player.
He can ball.
Yeah, really good player. Atlanta fan. He's been in the game now 4 times.
Been MVP once, I think.
And Team Dominique. So it's Dominique and Bill Walton, I guess, are the coaches.
What happens when the coaches are bigger celebrities than the celebrities playing?
I don't know. Myles Garrett is playing in this game. And have you ever seen basketball clips of Myles Garrett? Dude can play and throw down.
Yeah, he's a house.
Boobie Gibson is playing in the celebrity game.
Boobie Gibson?
He used to play for the Cavaliers.
I say.
Kane Brown, the mayor of Cleveland, Justin Bibb. I have no idea who that is.
I say kindly again, if the coaches are bigger celebrities, then does it really qualify as
Tiffany
a celebrity
Haddish
game?
Is playing, Jack Harlow.
All right, Tiffany Haddish is
Krissa Jackson. And let's see, who else? Nobody else that we would know.
All right.
Celebrity game.
Really looking forward to that.
Why aren't we in the celebrity game?
We don't have enough followers on TikTok, I think.
I guess so.
You're not an influencer, Chris.
I guarantee you I'm a better shooter than everyone playing in this game.
Except for Quavo. Quavo's nice.
Except for maybe Boobie Gibson, because he played in the league.
I thought Quavo was a tequila, but that's neither here nor there. Can I talk to you about Callaway Chrome Soft, please? When Callaway engineered Chrome Soft... When Callaway engineered Chrome Soft to be the best tour ball, it didn't just make the best players better. It made everyone better. Men, women, first-time major winners, repeat major winners, club champions, business golfers. The Chrome Soft family has the best tour performance for every type of performance. Probably not mine. Starting with the regular Chrome Soft, which is designed for the widest range of golfers who want better feel, more distance, and incredible forgiveness. But for better players looking for more workability, Chrome Soft X provides excellent spin consistency and tour-level short game control. Finally, Chrome Soft XLS gives you a lower spin golf ball on longer shots, firmer feel, but still with high spin around the greens. And now, every Chrome Soft is engineered and enhanced with precision technology, which uses design techniques and manufacturing specifications up to 1/1000th of an inch. This ensures they're the highest quality, most consistent, fastest golf balls possible. When you add it all up, it's pretty simple. Chrome Soft is better for the best and better for everyone. Find out which Chrome Soft is right for you at CallawayGolf.com/ChromeSoft. When we come back, SI's Greg Bishop. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere.
Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, you could save 50%. That's 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung. And that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
So welcome back to all of you on the Rich Eisen Show, wherever you're listening and taking in this television show, this radio show, this podcast. Thank you for stopping by and spending the morning with us, the afternoon, wherever you are. I'm Susie Schuster, in for my husband, Rich Eisen, and thrilled to have you all joining us, TJ Jefferson. And
Holla.
And Mike Del Tufo over there, Chris Brockman. Thank you for spending the day with us.
Thanks for having us.
We're going to join up with Greg Bishop, the senior writer from SI. Do we have him on the phone yet, guys? Has he called in yet?
Not yet. Still locating Greg.
We're going to tap dance until we get that. He's written 8 cover stories in a row, TJ.
That's pretty impressive.
And what I didn't realize, and we'll get to this, obviously, in talking to him when we find him on the phone, he embeds with both teams. He's going to write for both teams, not knowing who's going to be, obviously, the Super Bowl champion.
Okay.
But if you haven't read one of these, and the one that he's written right now is just incredible. I'm going to put my glasses on because, you know, that's what happens. Can't read even anything in front of me anymore. That's all right. How the Rams Got Away, Found One Another, and Then Found a Way. How the Rams Got Away, Found One Another, and Then Found a Way. The story of how the Super Bowl champions came together is beyond belief, even for those who lived it. Great timing to have Kara Henderson in for the entire second hour. Kara Henderson Snead, of course. I like to say the genius behind the Rams win. Is that wrong?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, they always say behind every good man is a good woman, right?
So yeah.
Stand the reason.
Holding him up.
Yeah.
It's exhausting. The weight of the world. That said, but what I love about this article is just how in-depth he gets. And, you know, you don't realize when you're reading these articles the next day, the next week, about the effort that goes into turning them around so quickly.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that the process is even more interesting than reading the article itself.
Yeah, writing on deadline, one of the most crazy and kind of exhilarating things if you've ever done it. And I know Greg had a lot of time to like embed himself with the team and work on this. But in the end, you are on a deadline because there was a game to be played. So the kind of ending of your story is contingent on what happens. And then to turn that around and get it published, really remarkable piece of journalism. These things are so fun. It's almost like a Hard Knocks in a way where you're kind of getting a peek behind the curtain at what goes on with these teams, especially leading up to a game obviously with the magnitude of the Super Bowl. Really fun piece. Can't wait to talk to him about it.
Let me ask you a question. You grew up reading SI, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm still a subscriber.
How much do you read now in terms of in-depth, or do you watch your programming? Like, how do you get your stuff in? Because I found in reading this that I had forgotten how much I love to read an in-depth piece of journalism.
Yeah.
I think I watch, you know, I watch Real Sports, I work there, I go to that kind of thing, but do you read as much, TJ?
I'm an old school cat where it's like, you know, back in the day, some of my earliest memories were like me and my grandfather on a summer night or summer afternoon sitting on the porch and me reading the Dodgers box scores to him. Like, I love nothing more than just the newspaper, and I don't read it as much as I used to now, obviously, but there was just always something about getting that paper, having it in your hands and sitting down with your mail or just sitting down, having a, you know, a drink and just kind of reading and feeling that paper. And I really do miss that because we just don't have the paper as much
as
we used to.
When I was in high school and college, my favorite day of the week was Thursday.
Okay.
Because Sports Illustrated was delivered on Thursdays. And so as soon as it came and as soon as I got home, I would sit at the kitchen table and read it cover to cover.
Yeah.
And it was, like I said, my favorite day of the week. You know, Friends and Seinfeld and ER. It was a good TV night, too. And then the next day was Friday, so that meant the weekend. But getting that Sports Illustrated and coming home and reading it, highlight of my week. I wrote for a newspaper for 5 years, so I totally get you. Just having that newspaper in your hand and reading it, the physical copy. But, you know, now I think a lot of us, we're all the same. Like, subscribe to The Athletic, subscribe to Sports Illustrated, you know. Just consume, because there's nothing like reading a feature like this, because you're not going to find it anywhere else.
Yeah. Speaking of The Athletic, they had a thing on this morning, and it said, you know, who's your guy, MJ or LeBron? Are we having this debate? Really?
I would like to not have this debate.
Yeah. Chris, we've, for like the last 2 years, I'm just so over the MJ LeBron thing. Like, because unless Doc Brown fully comes up with that DeLorean time machine, we're never going to be able to answer this question. So I don't understand what the point is.
And yet I'm bringing it up, so I'm giving it credence. But I just thought to myself, like, really?
Yeah.
And no offense to The Athletic, of course, as I insult you on the air, but whatever. But I... Just saying. Thank God Greg Bishop is finally on the air, because I was sitting here insulting The Athletic. Hi, guys. How are you? Really appreciate all your hard work in journalism. But I just feel
No offense
meant, taken, whatever. My point is, really, are we having that conversation? I feel like every year before the All-Star game, we have to have it. And here we are having it.
Yeah, and yesterday was MJ's birthday and the All-Star game's in Cleveland. Like, I get it. But, like, come on, let's come up with something else.
Let's move on to the Rams, because they are so much more exciting. As Brian Gumbel would say, wait. Let's move on to the Rams and the Super Bowl championship, because I really do love his transitions. And if you're wearing glasses, you got to do your Bryant, right? Yeah. Greg, hey, thank you so much for joining us. We're happy that you're on with us. Senior writer Greg Bishop here with SI.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. Can you walk us through just incredibly how arduous this has to have been for you leading up until the Super Bowl? And you're embedded with both teams, and you don't know who's going to win, and suddenly there's a winner, there's a champion, and now you've got to go deadline. How do you do it?
Well, I can start by saying it's always my favorite and least favorite story of the year, if that makes sense. You know, basically, we have to be ready either way. I like to be ready for whoever plays well in the game. I want to be able to sort of tell the story of their season, tell the story of their individual background and how they arrived there, and then ideally be able to stitch it all together. That generally means in the neighborhood of 100 interviews or so. I do it usually with another writer. This year I did it with Connor Orr. Truly had an amazing couple weeks. And, you know, then we get ready for any scenario that might happen. So that's Aaron Donald, that's Von Miller, that's Matthew Stafford, that's Les Snead, that's Sean McVay. And in this instance, it was kind of rare. They all factored so prominently into the win that we ended up writing a ton. I usually start writing about 3 a.m. Eastern, and I usually file by 8 a.m. And so those are the most frenetic, you know, hours of my existence for every year. And at the end, I have no idea whether the story's good or not. But usually we finish, which is a good thing.
How do you get so in-depth? How do you write when you weren't in these particular situations? Like, for instance, the evening of January 30th, you write about the Staffords and the Whitworths in Cabo. They just happened to be there at the same time. You write like you're there. How do you do that?
Yeah, I think it's a product of speaking to as many people who were there as possible. You know, I'm really looking for, you know, direct eyewitnesses, for lack of a better term. And, you know, when writing about the Rams trip to Cabo, it starts out by talking to some of the wives who were in attendance, whether it was Melissa Whitworth or Sean McVay's girlfriend, Veronica. Then it's like I find out from them that Clint Bowling is the one that connected Whitworth and Stafford, that this was all set in motion by, of all people, a former Bengal who had played with Matthew in college and with Andrew in the pros. And then I take that information and I say, I need to talk to Bowling. So I get him on the phone, make sure that he confirms it, add additional detail, And then the other interviews begin to roll in, you know. So then you talk to Matthew Stafford, you talk to Sean McVay, and you're getting their impressions of the night. And then they have these FaceTime calls, you know, after they've decided that the move's going to be made. They've made the trade for Matthew Stafford, and they're calling Cooper Kupp. They're calling Aaron Donald. They're calling the executives who helped shape the deal back in Los Angeles. And so you want the other side of those phone conversations as well. So when I end up writing a section on Cabo and the trip that changed this NFL season, I have it from 15 to 20 different vantage points. And it's the level of detail those people provide that hopefully makes the story, you know, kind of feel that way.
And you mentioned that you had thousands of words on Eric Weddle and you have to whittle it down to a paragraph. How do you decide what's important? How do you decide what's going to stay on the in the computer or on the floor?
Yeah, that's always the hardest part. You know, I think when I dropped everything I had pre-written, whether it was for stories that ran online or for stuff I call pre-writing, you know, just sort of to have into the file with that and interviews and research, at about midnight last Sunday, I had about 77,000 words. Ooh. It ended up running about 8,500. And that was a task I probably should not have given myself. It was very, very difficult to cut it down. The first 50,000 are pretty easy. The next 10,000 are get you close. And then we're agonizing over every single word. And so I'm weighing things like, what can I use later? You know, who would be a good story down the road? Who might make for a good magazine story in our next issue? Because we can't publish the Super Bowl game story in the issue because of the lag time between close and print. But we do a special commemorative issue that's just about the Rams. So I may have something on one of the players in the next issue. I'm looking at how do these things relate to each other. I'm trying to consider the time of the people that want to read this thing and how far they're going to make it in the story. And then, you know, you just make a lot of painful cuts. Cuts that still hurt, you know, 4 days later. Stuff I wish was in the world but just didn't quite fit.
Yeah, like what? I'd love to know what that cut is that you're wishing that you could have included in the piece for SI.
You know, I ended up writing 4,300 words on Matthew Stafford, and he was a big part of the game. But because I wanted to fit in Von Miller telling Sean McVay, come get me at a nightclub in 2018, and I wanted to fit in Weddle playing pickup basketball games to try to get his pro athlete fix, and I wanted to fit in Beckham insisting on number three and having to negotiate with Cam Akers in order to come over, you know, that I ended up using maybe 1,000 words of Stafford when I would have liked to have used more. You know, there was one story that I really loved where he's at dinner with a couple Lions teammates and he doesn't know what American Express points are. And they're all kind of laughing at just how normal he is. You know, this is not a guy that seems like a star quarterback. He doesn't even know that he has American Express points. And they have him look it up on his app how many he has. And it turns out he has 2 million. He's just like sitting there unused. Because that's like not something that he had thought through. And I had all these cool stories about just how normal Matthew Stafford is, whether he's wearing a hoodie to Nobu or, you know, taking his linemen, you know, on different trips and, you know, how he would go on vacation every year when the Super Bowl happened because he was never playing in it. And, you know, I imagine you'll see a Matthew Stafford, you know, focused story in Sports Illustrated at some point and not too long from now.
Greg Bishop, senior writer from Sports Illustrated, here on The Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. You mentioned in the piece how you call him, or maybe you say that others call him, a borderline genius with something close to a photographic memory and an amateur mathematician. Give me some evidence of him as an amateur mathematician or a borderline genius, please.
Yeah, it's really interesting, right? Because I think when I think of Matthew Stafford, I think howitzer arm. You know, this is a guy that they say made 82-yard throws in practice. You know, I talked to Calvin Johnson for this story, and he says, Matthew Stafford throw the ball so hard that essentially my fingers are messed up. But I think because he throws the ball so well and because he's known for this sort of golden arm, that we've consistently kind of overlooked his thought process. And his friends say that he actually would be like a perennial winner on Jeopardy. I thought that part really stood out to me. You know, this is a guy that could go on that show and win. You know, they say they actually hate watching it with him because he's the kind of person that answers every question immediately when it comes out. And, you know, one of his friends was saying to me, if you asked him to say, what's the square root of 69 times 3 divided by 4, that if you gave him 10 seconds, he could come up with the answer. And that's not how I'd ever thought of Matthew Stafford. But if you think a little deeper on it, it makes total sense. You know, Sean McVay is known as a savant type, really good with numbers, incredible memory. Cooper Kupp described exactly the same way. And you look at one thing that flipped the Rams season that made something like this possible. To me, it is those three guys, their sort of deep, nerdy knowledge of football and how they process offensive schemes. And I think what you saw this season was they got away from them in November, didn't win a game that month, and then they adjusted. And they adjusted while they lost Robert Woods, while they added Odell Beckham Jr. And that those kind of things are what I think are what I'm looking for in the story. Like how do things in their background relate to what happened in their season? And these guys met every Tuesday, and they talked offensive football at a level that like made it seem like French. And because they had those meetings, because they were able to adjust, and because they think through things in that way, I think it's a big reason they were able to do just enough in that game to score when it looked like they were out of answers. And to me, that's kind of the arc involved, and that's what I'm really looking for.
Greg Bishop, senior writer from SI here on the Rich Eisen Show. The name of his story is How the Rams Got Away, Found One Another, and Then Found a Way. What was the biggest surprise to you, or who was the biggest surprise to you as you wrote this story?
You know, probably Von Miller. You know, one of the things that I love about this story is that it's so circular in nature. You know, in 2016, when the Broncos won, I rode on a golf cart with Von, you know, throughout the stadium as he did interviews. I ended up following him the whole next summer while he took over 70 flights and flew like 140,000 miles and competed with Dancing with the Stars. But you kind of move on, right, and move on into other stories, other orbits. And, you know, Von and I didn't exactly stay in touch, but he remembered all of that. And what was really cool is he had been able to kind of trace where he was then to now. And so he told me that story about running into Cliff Kingsbury in the nightclub. Sean McVay's there. They have a bunch of shots. He says, come get me. He told me he would pull over on his way to games in Denver when things were bad and have to throw up because he was so anxious. He talked about meeting Trevor Moad, you know, an amazing mental coach who passed last fall from brain cancer, and how Trevor changed his life, introduced him to Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant ends up, you know, obviously dying in the helicopter crash. Vaughn moved down the street from where the crash happened when he gets traded. He reunites with Odell Beckham Jr., who's one of his best friends. McVay remembers their conversation. It was just so poetic in how circular it was that it really kind of floored me, that not only had he grown, but he could see the aims of the story as they related to his life and having a kid and playing for Demaryius Thomas. And I just thought he really opened a vein the last couple weeks, and I was really, really grateful for it.
Before we let you go, I was also struck by how you got inside Les Snead's mind, and especially him getting up early to go swim in the ocean and starting the day in that Seneca way, the Roman philosopher. What's your lasting impression of Les and how he was so successful at putting this team together?
Yeah, I just loved everything about our interactions. And I always tell my colleagues, we got to do everything we can, every interaction, to get one paragraph. And so this year with Les, that meant not only did we jog 6 miles up and down the beach, oh, you know, past Pierce Brosnan's house, past Steven Spielberg's house and the security guards out front, but we also took a plunge into the Pacific Ocean, and it was cold and it was fun, and it honestly felt a little bit rejuvenating. But to me, the plunge was Les. It wasn't willy-nilly. It was planned. It's something he's been doing, you know, every morning this year to sort of get in touch with his stoic roots. And I just think that he is a deep, deep thinker. I think there's a danger sometimes in people who look at him and see a gambler who plays blackjack with pro football players and who doesn't have a real plan involved. Like or hate the way that they operate, I think Les is very deliberate, and I think it comes from being smart. I think it comes from understanding that, you know, this is the way he wants to do it. And I wrote about a meeting he had with Peter Thiel, the billionaire, in which, you know, Thiel's emphasis to him was that with one thing that makes him successful, one tenet of his philosophy is, what do I know that nobody else knows? And I think Les Snead believes that draft picks, particularly in higher rounds, particularly because they are hit and miss, are overvalued. And to me, what he's doing is taking calculated plunges. And, you know, to be able to spend time with him in the way that he allowed me to, I think allows me to sort of see how all these parts of his life connect, whether it's books on stoicism, meeting with Ryan Holiday, or, you know, pulling a full Seneca and jumping into the ocean every morning. It's not like he has that part of his life and then the football part. To me, they are connected. They speak to a philosophy that's very clearly defined. And, you know, all you need at that point is time with him to sort of really draw the connections out. And that's another one that I was really grateful for.
Even the way you mentioned casually in his notebook, he wrote, "Who is this guy Cooper Kupp?" You really, Greg, I can't tell you enough how much I enjoyed it. You really take us there in the moment. You really made us feel like you were along for the ride. You really made us feel like we were intimately involved in this buildup. And I can't thank you enough. It's just spectacular.
You're far too kind, Susie. I need to have you be my new agent. So thank you very much for the kind words. It means a lot.
I'm available, and there are many people who'd probably say I'm not too kind, so I'll take it with you. But How the Rams Got Away, Found One Another, and Then Found a Way. Greg, just spectacularly written. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I absolutely love this, guys. If you can't tell, if I'm not effusive enough, just a spectacular piece of journalism. So if you haven't read it, take a look. But take my word for it. It's worth the time.
Shout out to Syracuse. Greg and I were the same year at Cuse.
Were you really?
Yeah.
All right. Big ass grab bag. TJ's big ass grab bag when we come back. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Susie Schuster here on The Rich Eisen Show, filling in for Rich Eisen. Thanks for all of you who are calling in and checking in with us. We totally appreciate it. Mike Del Tufo is here with me. Chris Brockman is here with me. And TJ Jefferson, who now has on the coolest shades I've ever seen for TJ's big-ass grab bag. What do you have for me?
Oh, Mikey D. There's that music. All right, Susie, this is the first time you're here for the grab bag, correct?
I am so excited to be here for all of it.
Well, like we do at this time, kaboom! Guess who stepped in the room? TJ here. Listen, I'm going to make this really quick. Football's over, guys.
Oh, man.
We're
going to
wake up Sunday and we're not going to have football.
Serious? That I can sleep in. I'm fine.
Del Tufo can sleep in. Rich can sleep in. That means more time at home with you for Rich, Susie. So I don't know how you're going to feel about not having football anymore, but I mean, maybe you'll like it.
We have Little League at 8 a.m. on Sundays. Bye-bye, honey. Out the door. See ya.
All right. So I decided to dedicate this grab bag. I'm going to make it really quick to looking ahead to next football season. So I've dug into the big ass grab bag and I'm going to give you TJ's top five random, way too early thoughts about the 2022 NFL season.
I love this.
I knew you dig that, Brockman. All right, coming in at number five, the big thing about football, because we all love it, we all play it, is fantasy football, right? Every year you want to be the one who gets that breakout star. You know, 2 years ago it was Derrick Henry. This year it was Cooper Kupp and Jonathan Taylor. By the way, I drafted Cooper Kupp. I knew what time
you
it was.
You traded Cooper Kupp.
You shut your mouth and don't interrupt me, right? That's not the point. The point is I knew that Cooper Kupp was going to be special, and I drafted him. And then, yes, I did trade him, but that's because my team stunk. But anyway, Number five, the next fantasy breakout star. Who's it going to be next year, Chris? It's probably going to be a running back, might be a rookie. I don't know, man. I think Cooper Kupp could be fantasy MVP again next year. I don't see that train stopping. But like I said, it's way too early to be worrying about this. I don't even know why I am.
I love both those guys for next year.
Yeah.
Still.
Get up on them if you can.
Derrick Henry's going to be back next year at full strength, so don't sleep on him either.
Yeah, fantasy's going to be fun.
You know who's going to be overdrafted is Jamar Chase is going to go in the first round next year, I think.
I would think not, but you
1,500 yards and 10-plus touchdowns.
That's temptation, as they say. All right, coming in at number four. I don't even know why I'm thinking about this, but I've been thinking about it because I'm a Josh Allen fan, right? And I sit there and I look at the Bills, and I'm sure Mikey Hoskins is going to appreciate this. I look at the Bills, and I wonder, if they had a serious running game, how far could this team have gone? So I wonder where the Buffalo Bills improved that running game. You know, Devin Singletary led the league. I'm sorry, the league, the team, in rushing with 870-some yards. But Josh Allen had almost 800, plus he led the team with 9 touchdowns, Chris. I don't know that you want Josh Allen doing all that running next year for the Bills. I feel if they get a solid running game and they don't have to rely on their quarterback to carry the ball as much, I think the Bills, they might pull up Bengals next year and they could be in that Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. They definitely need to improve the run game. And there's also a reason why the Bills are tied with the Chiefs for the best Super Bowl odds for next year. Yeah, people really believe in them because they believe in what they see in Josh Allen, who... Get your MVP bets in now. Josh Allen's going to be a monster next year.
No doubt, no doubt. All right, now coming in number three. Again, it's way too early for me to be worrying about this, but I'm going to.
I love this because this is ridiculous. Yeah. Keep going.
Kyler Murray, right? You know, yeah. Right off the bat when the Instagram got, you know, wiped out, you love this type of stuff.
I love it.
Me, I'm like, who cares? Maybe he's just cleaning up his IG, but looks like I was wrong. Maybe he's not just cleaning up his IG, right? But that kind of got me to thinking. Kyler Murray has a little bit of, I don't know, I'd say he has a plan B, right? That plan B involves a bat. So I wonder, will Kyler Murray pick up a baseball bat? Let's just say this whole baseball thing gets settled and we're going to have baseball next year. And Kyler's this upset with the Cardinals. What? He has an option, right? He could go pick up a baseball bat. He could go play baseball. But if he doesn't do that, Chris, the other thing I'm thinking, can the Cardinals make it 3-for-3 in terms of home teams going to and winning the Super Bowl? Because next year is Super Bowl in Arizona. Will the Cardinals step up? Will they jump in line with the Bucks and the Rams and host that Super Bowl?
All right, so we're going to find out. Your number five was about fantasy.
Sweater is plan B.
Nice. Thanks, Ken Bone. You talked about fantasy for number five. Yeah. I went all in on the Kyler Arizona Cardinals year in fantasy. I had Kyler as my quarterback. I had DeAndre Hopkins. And guess what? My team was awesome for the first half of the season and absolutely stunk in the second half of the season. So until they can get that figured out and come up with a plan on how to close season strong, then I think no on the 3-for-3. And Kyler, not baseball, but might be on a different NFL team.
Interesting. Like I said, too early, but we're thinking about it. All right, coming in at number two, Brian Flores' lawsuit against the NFL. I'm not sure what to expect out of this. I don't know if anything's going to happen. I got to be honest. I don't really have high hopes for things changing. But, man, at some point, something's got to give. Something's got to change. I'm going to be paying attention to this because I want to see what happens. Is Brian going to get another gig in the NFL? That's what I'm hoping. My heart tells me it's going to be tough, and I hope I'm wrong. I pray I'm wrong, but I'm going to be looking out and seeing if anything comes from his lawsuit against the NFL. And coming at number one, of course, I had to make the Cowboys part of this, right? It's what we do here in Cowboys country and Cowboys corner. As you can see, I moved the candle. Cowboys versus everybody. So the number one thing I'm worried about, believe it or not, Micah Parsons, right? I'm seeing Aaron Donald, and I'm seeing all the press Aaron Donald's getting, and I'm seeing Von Miller, and I'm seeing what a great, like a truly great generational defender can do. And I'm wondering, is Micah Parsons up next? The guy didn't play football until last year. He sat a whole year out, and he came out Defensive Rookie of the Year. He dominated. I believe this is the type of kid who wants to be great. He wants to be a legend. Micah Parsons, I feel, is going to put in the effort. He's going to put in the work. I feel he can be the next great, and I'm talking not good, great defender, and I'm looking forward to seeing his progress. And those are TJ's top five way too early random thoughts about NFL season. As always, looking forward to everyone else's.
I love that.
That is a spectacular segment.
I love that.
Oh, well, thank you.
And the music and the candle and the whole vibe.
Can I be honest with you, Susie? Can I be honest with you about something? Normally, at this point, your husband will sit there and try to crap on the segment because either he doesn't get what I'm talking about or he doesn't understand it. So every segment's left with a bad taste. You gave me props and liked it. I appreciate you. Come more.
You're very cool, TJ.
Thank you, Sis.